Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Seven adopted kids with extraordinary abilities reunite after the death of their father. This amazing Dark Horse comic comes to life. The Umbrella Academy After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yeah, man. I swear I've said the word umbrella before, Teron. I swear I have, man. But I never said it out loud in public.
Umbrella,
man.
Like said the word umbrella?
Yeah, said the word umbrella.
It's like
the
first on its own?
Yeah, it's the first time I ever said it out loud.
Where are you from?
I'm Pennsylvania, man. I'm already
It rains in Pennsylvania. Man. So you've never said umbrella?
I've never said umbrella out loud.
Okay, yeah. You just always grab one?
Yeah, okay. Just grab, let it go. Yo, welcome to the Umbrella Academy After Show, man. Listen, man, it's the first time we're doing this show right now. We have two other people coming, but right now, I got my man to the left, man.
Teron, it's the best of the best. This is how it's going to go down. I've never said the word vacuum. Now that I've thought about it,
you see?
Vacuum.
You see?
It's never, you know what?
When you need to clean up, you just grab the vacuum.
No, I just get somebody to do it. See,
where are you from?
I'm from Tehran. I make it happen. Everywhere I go, I
he
am.
He does not vacuum, yeah. Y'all. Yo, welcome to this wonderful at the show, man. We getting into it. We going to cover episode one, episode two. This is my man, Teron. He's Robles right now. I never know what's going on when he's Robles. I don't know if he's going out, hanging out, doing some things. But I always question when he doesn't have a robe, is he fighting crime? Is he just going to church?
It's my extraordinary ability.
But let's get into it, man, especially episode one. I just want to get your overall thoughts on this, the show in general, before we get into the show, but I just want to get your thoughts just on the show being made on Netflix and so on and so forth.
So I think we're discussing episode one and two today.
One and two.
Okay, so I'm gonna just stay with episode one right now.
We are only doing episode one at this moment right now
because going in, I had heard the hype, and I'm one of the when people hype it, Bird Box. I'm not gonna feel it as much as everyone else, right? So. The Umbrella Academy definitely lives up to its hype.
Believe it.
It's amazing. It's extremely well scripted. It's well filmed. The cinematography was outstanding. Mm. The character development was on point. Number five is possibly one of the best comic book characters of all time come to life.
No question.
It's an amazingly crazy adaptation of a comic book that was not as specific.
Wow.
And I would just like to explain to everyone, if you have not watched Umbrella Academy in depth, it's definitely a rewatchable show.
Right.
Simply because there are subtle Easter eggs that you miss in every episode.
100%.
And pay attention.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. Oh, man. Originally, Dark Horse Comics, September 19th, 2007, first published, I believe. Now, always the first thing when there's an adaptation, you already know what you're going to get. You're going to get that's how it wasn't in the comic. They changed this, they changed that, they changed this, they changed that. Everything's different. Listen, my world's coming to an end. And I always say when it comes to adaptation, they literally are always going to change something.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, they're always going to change something.
No.
However, I say at the moment, episode one, episode two, I think they're doing a pretty good job.
As best as you can.
Yeah.
And here's the thing that's also something we need to remember. It's become an episodal show. It's not a movie adaptation. Mm. It is an episodal show. So there's so much more to come. Mm. And sticking to the comic book is good.
Yeah.
Of course, for the diehard fans. But for the average person, they don't know what's supposed to happen.
That's the argument right there. That's always my argument to people that always talk about adaptations. Guys, you're too close to it. You see the movies when the wife gets killed and he's a cop and they take him off the case. See, they take him off the case. He goes, why? He goes, you're too close to this assignment. When there's diehard fans of certain things, you're so close to it, you can't see the forest for the trees. So they making it for the casual viewer that don't know what
for
this
everyone,
is.
And this one is an adaptation where whether you are extremely familiar, vaguely familiar, or not familiar at all, you can watch the Umbrella Academy. It actually reminds me of how good it is. It reminds me of the other panel that I'm on, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Yeah.
It's it's very similar. It's just how matter of fact and strong that the that the show is. It's such a good, strong show.
Man, speaking of strong, man, isn't there some strong places they can find us, man, if they want to subscribe or they want to look out for us, man? I just want to know if there's anything like that.
Of course. Before we move on to the next topic, I want to say thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. And for us to continue to grow, we could use your help. If you're on YouTube right now, hit that thumbs up button and subscribe. And if you're on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. Mm. We deserve it. And if you don't think we do, trust me, we will earn it by the end of our show. But no matter where you are, leave us a comment so you can get involved in the conversation. Being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to all of us, and we truly appreciate your support and supporting us and doing what we love. Don't forget to tell your friends.
Yes.
And keep enjoying our shows. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, special shout out to Carmen Zayas. Ivan Soto always in there. What's going on? Red Lantern, what's going on? Serenity was good. Alyssa was good. And yeah, so on the 12th hour, the first day, October 1989, 43 women around the world gave birth. This is unusual because none of them were pregnant the day before.
Mm.
So that's the setup. They set this whole thing going on, and you find out that there's an eccentric billionaire that is only to acquire 7 of these children. He adopts them, and then he brings them to his
buys them, actually, yeah. Which is that's the funny part.
He negotiated.
He buys them, and no one said, wait, are you allowed to buy children? Like, but any other episode, any other situation, this would be highly illegal.
Name your bride.
And it also makes me think, what happened to the other 44 children that are abroad and abound?
That's the question.
Interestingly enough, and I don't know if that comes out to play in this season, but it's definitely room for thought.
Exactly. That's what I'm
saying. So he's able, and we start out with the Russian scene. What did you think of that scene in Russia?
I love the way they did it, though. I think they were really trying to set a tone of, you don't know what's going to happen in this show. So it looks like, I kid you not, they had me going down this, oh, this is a young love. Mm-hmm. This is very lovely. It's in Russia, so I don't know how real, it's going to get real in a second somehow. But I was like, this is young love. What's about to happen here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and I like that it turned into, all of a sudden, she was 9 months pregnant and she gave birth. And I came into this kind of cold, though. You know what I mean? That was like kind of my goal, to come into this show not knowing much, not going down the rabbit hole of the comics, being familiar with the comics enough, but not going down the rabbit hole. So this was completely shocking me, bro. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know about the children with extraordinary abilities. And we're in this era, though, Teron, with the oversaturation of comics. And people aren't going to realize until it was way later that comics are good and bad. They've destroyed regular movies now. Now regular action movies, regular whatever movies don't do as well in the box office because everyone's waiting for the next superhero thing.
Sure.
So I think it's great to bring not as renowned comic to the forefront, because I think that's what's going to start going on right now. The more obscure comics, the more cult comics are to come to life. So I kind of like this one because it's
there's
different.
Also a tone of realism that's been hitting comic books.
That's
so
fair,
we had this past effect with the Superman, the godlike character who's infallible in so many ways and stays principled in justice no matter what the situation is. Now we get these comic book characters, and we get a very strong similarity, by the way, between the Umbrella Academy and Doom Patrol.
Yes.
And I think that's something that needs to be noted and stated, is that there's a very strong similarity in not only the storyline, but also the type of comic that it portrays, the flawed hero.
Absolutely.
Or the Zero, so to speak. These aren't heroes. Even number two isn't technically a hero.
It's true.
Extremely flawed characters. And that's the path that we seem to take. As we break down every one of these characters, we see there's a certain character flaw that plays a huge part.
100%.
With Allison, with her rumors and her divorce and losing Claire in the custody.
Realistic.
Diego, it's his chip on his shoulder and trying to be Luther. And also the shadiness that's going on with the disposing of the monocle. And
absolutely.
Who is Diego? And why was he flushed out of the police academy? Who is this guy who's always going at his siblings and undercutting them?
Wow.
And everything he states, oh, I hope I do better than your marriage, or why are you even here? These are things that Diego frequently says. And then with Klaus, obviously, he's the most flawed.
Absolutely.
on the surface, but deep down, he's also somehow the most genuine, right?
Oh, yeah.
So he's the one who comes out with this heart, and it's he's the one who, yes, he's coming out of rehab, and he's clearly a drug addict and a thief, and for many ways he's a liar, but he actually kind of cares. He's the one with the heart, and he's being tormented by these demons in his mind, right? Mm. And then we also meet Vanya, who's the key somehow.
You're smart enough to know that.
Exactly. The one who's been distanced from her family, mm-hmm. and she comes off like she has no powers and she's so ordinary. But I think that's something that plays a much bigger part later on.
Yes.
There has to be some key to Vanya. Why is she one of them and not have powers? Her powers must just be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we had to suppress you and keep you separate. I remember a very similar situation with Jean Grey and Dark Phoenix.
Strikes a Jean Grey all exactly, day right? Long. Close to Charles Xavier. She's close to Hargreaves. Like she's like right next to him at all times. It's like it strikes that. And I think that brings us to like how the dichotomy between the past and the present, how they do that. I think that's
strong.
I think it's strong. I think it's brilliant. They spend time on it. They know they have an hour to work. These are like, man, movies are typically an hour and a half long. So they have episodes that are hour long, 58 minutes.
And with movie budgets.
Yes.
Because these
oh
are,
my goodness.
The special effects Pogo? Are excellent. Number five, Pogo.
Incredible, man.
Just strong, just the way it works out. Number five, another flawed, like a 50-year-old, 13-year-old. Just amazing acting.
The man child for real, though.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm glad. The acting is brilliant. I love all the characters. You laid them out beautifully. And it's one of those things where they do the past thing. They show you how things were. Then they show these kids are all back together for the first time. You could tell they've all been estranged from each other.
Yeah.
And the death of their father actually brings them together. So, but it does not seem like it's mended any bridges.
It has not. And hence the name of the title. We only see each other at weddings and funerals.
Weddings and funerals.
They bypass the wedding because what you learn is that basically none of them know Allison's husband.
Absolutely.
Patrick. None of them know Patrick or have even met him. Mm. They know him through television, but that's about it. And because Allison becomes a star.
And gone are the days of the shows that literally just are patient with their build-ups. And this show did it a good job of that.
And such a great job.
Before anything starts getting really popping in the show, you know what I mean? Like, they are building the characters, man. You see when they first start out, you see Vanya, she's playing the violin. And then they go to the moon. Then you see that Diego's still trying to keep up the Umbrella Academy, like the, you know, just like the superhero vibe.
Sure.
And then you start seeing Klaus coming out of rehab. Allison on the red carpet. She's a famous actress.
She's famous.
Yeah, and you're seeing the different things that are going on, and it's a slow build. You don't know powers, you don't know gifts, you don't know what's going on. All you know is like they're one of the seven children that he adopted. Then you start getting into that layer by layer. This whole episode was kind of centered on the death and them coming back together. Just give me your thought process on anyone anybody that stood out to your mind in your mind in the first episode that literally just that's just box office that just captivates the screen. Anyone in particular that spoke to you?
I would say I know they tried to make it Vanya who captivates you, 100%. But I would say Allison. And I would say number five.
Or five, he's incredible.
Number five is just an incredible character.
That young man can act, man. That young man is good.
Just
man.
A good. And it's also a very captivating, polarizing character.
Yeah, I like Klaus. I like the way he does it. I like when he's an Irishman.
Klaus is excellent too. That's actually a great.
Yeah, it's the way he's playing it. When you're starting to see a little bit of his abilities, you're starting to see why he's probably an addict though, because you can imagine that as a young man.
The torment. It's the sixth sense syndrome where you remember I see dead people.
He's like the one addict I can kind of understand why he was going down this path.
He has a hard time sleeping.
I understand that. So I love his character as well. So we get to this moment where, like I said, everyone's trying to figure out and process. They all acting hard, but they all do, no matter how hard their father was. And they do establish how hard the dad was.
How difficult he was, how eccentric. They do that, and they do it in such a good way.
Yeah.
They don't tell you.
Yes.
They let you understand it
and
in
watch
his actions
yeah.
and watch him act. And they all go to say goodnight, and they're all standing there like well-behaved children. Children must be seen and not heard. And he's just writing. He doesn't have any effect. He's not affected at all by their presence.
And that's one of my favorite parts. Like, I know there has to be more to that. There has to be more to him. No man, no matter what his intentions are, adopts seven children and brings them into their home and raises them. Unless he has some kind of compassion, I think there's something
or
there.
Or he's studying them, which comes off as well. Because they, in in the episode when Allison is looking over the videos. They're not home movies. They're surveillance tapes.
They really are.
He's watching them sleep. He's studying them. It's a science project. It's something. Something he was aware of, where Hargraves was aware of, that everyone else wasn't. Mm. And this eccentric billionaire who comes off crazy is probably not as crazy as everyone thinks.
Absolutely. So, and there's also a couple of things I wanted to get your thoughts on. Did you like do you like how they did the music? The type of music they chose based on the scenes? Did you like this? Did you like the soundtrack so far? I know that's going to be a big part of the show.
It's not about liking the soundtrack. You know, at some points it's almost off-putting, but at the same time it's used to soften the show. Mm-hmm. So it gives you, we see the one where they're dancing.
I think I'm alone now. By Tiffany, yep.
Exactly. And so you think, and they're dancing, and each one of them is actually enjoying themselves, but not together.
Absolutely.
And that shot of just the abscond of the house.
Amazing.
Just all the rooms simultaneously, you get to see them all.
And watching Diego shut the door, like, because he's still Diego. He doesn't want
to
see
He doesn't want anyone to know that he's not, you know, tough guy.
Yeah, and you can tell based on how the acting ability, the way it's shot, how they do a good job. They're doing a great job. But you can see they're all handling his death a certain way. They're all different. Their dynamics are different. You can tell off the jump that Luther and Allison have something going on.
Yeah.
There's a special connection there.
Which everyone is trying to ship as, oh, that's cute. No, it's not. They were raised in the same household. For any effect of purposes, they are brother and sister.
100%.
So it's actually, even though you know you're not genetically related.
You know it's wrong. I mean,
if adopted children did this, you would be like, what's going on?
100%. Y'all know y'all wouldn't be cool with that.
You wouldn't be cool if it was a director and his adopted daughter, even if they're not genetically related.
He's still in hiding because of that. So I know y'all ain't cool with that.
It's just an interesting dynamic that they're shipping to us, but it's still something that plays,
and it plays well, and they play it well, and you can even know, even through all these years, even all the dissing, they still act weird towards each other.
They do. There's a little look at the dinner table, and then you realize, oh, that explains why they are in this situation.
So then you get kind of introduced to Pogo. What's your first thoughts on Pogo? What did you think?
Brilliant. Just the fact that Pogo is a talking, walking chimpanzee.
Brilliant chimpanzee.
He's just brilliant. Of course, has the English accent. Mm-hmm. He's just wonderful. I thought they handled him and how he's so clever.
Absolutely.
He's so aware of each of the children.
Absolutely.
And he's aware of who they are and how they act. And how to speak to each one.
Yes. Yeah. And it's different. It's a different way. He knows more things. You get to, come on. He's like, he's probably, I'm going off on a rail, but he's definitely like probably Hargrave's like greatest creation.
Though. Sure. Of course.
You know what I mean? Goodness gracious, man. he's like a well-dressed, he's in a 3-piece suit walking around the house.
All the time. All the time. Have glasses. Why do you have bifocals? You're a chimp.
He's a chimp. So we're starting to learn the dynamics of these brothers and sisters throughout the show. We get Klaus in the master study, and he's stealing, man. He's jacking stuff. He meets up with Allison. Allison's checking on him, seeing what's going on. She has a smirk on her face because she knows Klaus being Klaus. He's rummaging, saying he's taking part of his inheritance. You know what I mean? Luther stops him, but he still has something in his possession.
Yeah.
Have you any thoughts?
Every box.
Do you think that's going to be something? Or
I remember, okay, so I saw the ivory box when he was writing, when Hargraves was writing, and then he had this red book, and he put his little notes in the box. So and we saw again, of course, in the next episode we discussed that it's the box. So I don't know how that plays, but that has to play. That's all his notes, or at least a huge portion of his notes.
So we get to this. So basically, in the crux of the episode, Luther's not buying that his father, as brilliant as his father was, as smart and all these contingency plans, that he would just die of natural causes. He's not buying natural causes.
At first, it comes off as Luther might be a little crazy, but the more Diego is defensive, there's something.
Yes.
And on top of that, Allison sees something on the surveillance tapes, which we don't know yet what she saw. And clearly, the phone call where Hargraves warns, I believe he spoke to Luther.
Yeah.
And he warns Luther not to trust people
That's right.
or things of that nature.
That's right.
All that plays. So
I agree, and that's one of those things where you're wondering like what all the meanings are. And I think, like I said, I think they're doing a great job. Like I said, gone are the days of wondering what's going on. Everybody needs validation quickly, and I like a show that has the guts to be patient, take the time. They got 10 episodes. Let me develop characters, make you care about them
very well,
absolutely,
very quickly too,
absolutely. So we get
what? Hold on, what did you think of Pogo? And what did you think of Pogo's, how he fit into the family?
My favorite, that was one of my favorite parts of the whole show so far, is just to watch how much of a part of the family he is, though. You know what I mean? Because you're like kind of predisposed to being like, man, that's a chimpanzee, man. Like, no matter what.
But you get over it really quickly.
You do. And you see just how, when Vanya first sees him, she just gives him a hug.
Yeah.
It's a warm embrace. Like, I haven't seen you in a long time.
You are the person who showed me love.
Absolutely. And
you cared.
Yeah. And he hugged her, and it was one of those moments, like, it's like, good to see you, good to see all of you. So I just like the dynamic, and you can tell he's almost like they're, like, besides mom, like that de facto father figure.
100%. He's Jeffrey, he's Benson, yep. He's Mr. Belvedere. He's every single lovable butler. Who's the boss? He's,
yep.
He's that guy. Like, it was just a very good take.
So speaking of mom, when you see them reference her and they see her talk about her, what was your first thoughts before you get the reveal? Did you notice anything off?
No, I was like, how did Hargreaves get her?
Word.
Like, I was like, what? I need to understand. Like, is she just there for the money? Yeah, mom's coming in very young, good looking, on point. But then, of course, at the funeral, she shows something, like something's wrong with her. And they say, oh, she needs to recharge. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's something. Mm-hmm. I didn't know yet what it was.
Right.
Maybe there was some form of memory loss or Alzheimer's or something, early onset Alzheimer's. Exactly. But the recharge hit me.
Exactly.
And, of course, the reveal.
And then we get the reveal. So we get that flashback of when you kind of first get, especially speaking of reveals, the kind of the first taste of their power. So like I said, I think they've been doing a good job of not showing you what the hell they can do.
Yes.
So you kind of get a taste. You see what Allison can do, which is one of the most deadly, unbelievable gifts probably ever, though.
Yeah, to be able to manifest things that you think.
Yeah.
To say, rumor has it, and something, whatever you say comes to play.
I wanted to shoot a question to you. I was wondering, it's way too much in the beginning of the first episodes, but I still wanted to know, do you think she like rumored her way into being an A-lister? Do you think she rumored her way into that?
That's a very interesting. I didn't even think about that. I actually was more contemplative regarding how if she somehow subconsciously manifested her own divorce and demise because she says, I already ruined it with this.
So did she
rumor has it for him to fall in love and it not work out a la Harry Potter in Voldemort's beginnings, where it's like a love spell that just cannot be sustained?
Damn.
Or did she somehow sabotage her own relationship with the rumor has it? I'm waiting for that reveal.
Absolutely. So then, like I say, the whole episode centered around what they're going to do with their father. Luther is the leader of the group, self-proclaimed leader. And he is the leader, though, but Diego still has that thing where he chips on his shoulder and
undercuts him. Yeah.
Undercuts him. So Luther still is making the tough decision that we need to do something. We need to have some kind of ceremony. We need to say our goodbyes. We need to make our peace.
Sure.
He said, let's go out to the old oak tree where father used to be, because he paid attention when others were just worried. He stayed, right?
Luther stayed at the house, I don't know if he was exiled or sent to the moon.
Exactly.
We're going to find out what that moon project
was. But you can see he takes the brunt of all this responsibility.
Because
he was a hard man, but you could tell. Like I said, I think they all love their dad, no matter how they act.
As callous as they're acting, they all came home, and they all somehow cared.
So what we start realizing is we're going through the show, and if you're really paying attention, like, wait a minute, somebody's missing from all these numbers. What's going on?
We missed a couple people. We were missing number five and number six.
See, so then we get the slow pan outside, and you look at the statue they show in the beginning, but you see it again.
Yeah,
and you're like, oh wait,
Ben is dead.
He's dead. Yeah. So then you get to them. So now everyone's accounted for except number five. They go out there. They have their moment. It's very awkward. It's very weird. They say their goodbyes. They all leave. They ever talk. But then all of a sudden, man, the temporal disturbance, and Five reappears.
Yeah, Five comes out.
Five is, first you see an old man, and then you see a young boy. Then, so take me through the moment where Five drops down, and then, and the amazing shot when they put like number five, like number
it's,
five.
It's number five, and then it's he has no name. He has no name. His name's number five, because I guess Hargraves had never actually named them. So I'm actually also waiting for the reveal of where the names came from.
Seriously. So then you get to that point. Take me through how it was when you see Five.
Excellent. Five comes out. He comes on strong. Everyone recognizes who he is. Wait, you're Five? Why? Where have you been?
And he has not aged.
I want to know. And he has an age. Why are you the same age? There's questions. He acts extremely mature, yes, which is a counterbalance and a very great dichotomy to his actual age, wow, or his appearance. It was a very strong scene.
Yeah, and I like the moment where, like I said, they're building the action. I like the fight between the two brothers. I
think fight between Luther long and overdue. Diego.
You see how big Luther is, but you see how Diego's not
scared
of him.
Diego's quick. Diego's obviously a trained fighter.
It's incredible.
And even though Luther is extremely strong,
it was okay. So we're covering all these bases. Five is back here, man. He is. I was like, man, I just need them to explain this. Please explain this, because I was very excited about going on. His demeanor is totally different. He kind of like breaks down what's going on, but before that, he leaves. You find out he's kind of being tracked. Then he's at a diner.
He's at the donut shop.
The donut shop. He's, like I said, like a team of people come in.
Because he wants coffee.
Because this boy man wants coffee, and Jerron, Five, is absolutely incredible in hand-to-hand combat.
Sure, he handles it. He uses... So, going through the powers of each person, right? So, we have Allison has the ability to somehow distort reality.
Correct.
With being able to say it. Diego has the ability to somehow curve... Especially these knives that he throws. He has ability to curve them in a different way.
And he's chosen knives because they're an effective tool.
Exactly. He thinks it's more rough than, a gun or anything like that. Luther is obviously strong. And we also get this sense that there's something with his body.
Yes.
Because when Diego's knife goes through the shirt and cuts him a little, you see
something bothered him.
Yeah, these big arms that are unlike the rest of his body. And his upper body's disproportionately big.
Yeah, and then we got Klaus. He could speak to the dead.
Yes.
That seems to be his ability. Maybe he has extra wrinkles. I don't know. At the moment, Five looks like he can teleport pretty well, but obviously...
Space-time
continuum is not travel. An option. Yeah. And like I said, then we have Vanya, who's,
Vanya, whose power we don't know. And then Ben, who can somehow manifest monsters or
we seen a
whatever
taste
beast.
Of that.
Yeah, we see that in the bank robbery scene.
Absolutely. So, like I said, I was digging the show, man. I kind of got lost in it too when I was watching, and I'm like, this is really good. This is gonna be like a 10 episode rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You find out towards the end that Diego had the monocle the whole time.
You're thinking he killed the father somehow.
And I think if you're not thinking that, I don't know. Because I think it's really really well done that they do that. Then you see a cool reveal that Klaus talks to Ben.
Klaus talks to Ben using his power, and Ben, and it's very
he's
normal
just there.
For him.
Oh, that's nothing. They're talking about what to eat. Yeah. They're talking about to get, like, let's get waffles. You want to get waffles? Let's get waffles. So you could tell that's probably kind of like his angel on his shoulder, his voice of reason. He probably talks to him about not doing drugs anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's one of those.
And also, Klaus, we also realize Klaus can't use his power when he's high, which is probably why he stays high.
Correct. And that's a brilliant observation. We end with Five. He's in Vanya's apartment. He says he only comes to her because she's the only one he could trust. He says the world is coming to an end. And
yeah, matter. 8 days. We find this big, huge story drop of the first season is the world ends, not the apocalyptic future that he went after being told not to go into the future. He goes into the future anyway. The world is ending in 8 days. Not 80 days, not 80 years, not 80 months. 8 days.
Speaking of that, we go to Run Boy Run episode 2, where it's that moment where in the last episode you hear number Five saying, man, I should have listened to Dad. So they kind of start with that moment where they're all at the table. Why can't I time travel? And his father gives him a very brilliant, brilliant lecture on why not. And he's not hearing it. So he decides to try to do it anyway on his own. And that's when you see when he jumps into this apocalyptic future where he's seen the world is just destroyed.
Yeah, but you're thinking it's like way in the future. It's 8 days in the future. So there's a lot of storyline regarding number five, which is left out, which we haven't gotten to, which I'm sure they'll get to. Yeah. However, at this point, he's just a 13-year-old stuck 8 days in the future and cannot go back, which we've seen him not be able to use his power. This was a very number five driven episode, number two.
Yes.
And even though episode number one and episode number two were the same length, episode number two clearly was a lot more fast streamed. It had a lot of things happened, but less things happened at the same time.
Yeah, and we talked about that on the show when we were doing DC Titans. We're talking about, like I said, that ability to just take your time to build certain things.
Sure.
Get in the first episode, get all that thing, get that character development, make us care about these individuals, and then second episode, start to work out out the action, because they get down to it, man, you know? So we get to this moment where Vanya doesn't believe like that's going on.
She's dismissing it. She says something could have happened to your mind, which was a point, and it does come off like that with number five and his Dolores reveal, that Dolores, someone who he's been with for 30 years, turns out to be a mannequin, a la I Am Legend.
Yes.
You know, so it's like,
What would you do? Either have a psychotic break or try to find something to hold on to.
The Wilson volleyball.
Yeah.
So you find that out. And then also he's being chased. First by the series of people that we saw in the diner, but there's
now,
more to it.
The introduction of Cha-Cha Hazel and Cha-Cha. Originally in the comic, they were like neo-Nazis, but that's a little different because, you know, Mary J. Blige is black, so I don't think they can do the Nazi route. You know what I mean? They kind of watered it down a little bit for people. So they're like I said, they're assassins. We don't know what kind of assassins they are. I think that they do a good job of showing that they can probably
But we know they're working for some larger company.
Correct.
Because they talk about the cubicle and how they're
and like,
in the field.
The rights and the benefits and
their medical benefits and it's a company, it's some type of workplace.
So we get that they're hunting number five. They seem to be way more formidable than the people that run up on them in the donut
100%.
Shop. So we get in these different situations, and like I said, each layer is unfolding, and we find that moment where Diego's at the donut shop, has no idea there's his brother that's involved in this, but you find out a little bit more about Diego being a part of the police academy
and his connection. His connection both romantically and professionally.
Correct.
With what's the detective's name? I forget her name.
Oh my gosh. Patch.
Patch. With Detective Patch.
And that's that situation when you realize that he's always obstructing justice, but she kind of like puts him in like a quarantine for a little bit.
Yeah.
Let him just let him think about what he's done.
He's trying to be Batman,
yes.
But isn't Batman.
Yeah, he wants to be Batman. You know, and they have that dichotomy where she's like, I have to follow the law, bro. You don't have to, but that's what I have to do.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get her to be a vigilante like him.
Yeah.
So it's
because it rekindles. He clearly has an affinity for her and an attraction to her, and she's very attractive, and he's a nice looking young man, and they clearly have this justice in them, and he's doing it for justice, but he's also doing it for recognition.
Absolutely.
In a way.
So we
personal recognition.
So give me your thoughts just like on the overall episode before we try to close it out, but I just want to get your thoughts.
Episode two was amazing. It was you think, okay, episode one was great, how do they follow this up? They do it appropriately. You continue the story. You push along the storyline and every single thing. Umbrella Academy is one of those shows that you can't just have on. You have to pay attention.
That's so true.
You watch and you want to pay attention. It's extremely engaging. And the action pieces of number five, we need to know more about his storyline.
Seriously.
The eyeball, what's going on with that eyeball that he took to the doctor's office and it hasn't been manufactured yet. Whose eye does that belong to?
Man.
Why do we need this eye? Why was it being held in the hand during the apocalypse by Luthor? All these things come to play,
yeah,
right?
And they do a good job of that. So you know the only clue he has to go on is that moment where he's seeing his brothers and sisters all sprawled out and Luther's clutching that glass eye.
So you know something.
So he knows that has to be like connected to the apocalypse where he's hoping it is, because he has spent a lot of math equations and times and 45 years of his consciousness to get back to this time.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to be all for nothing. And you can tell he's annoyed by his family members, not just because he's like the apocalypse is going on, but he's just in a different mindset right now. He's
an old man who's been through this and done this, and they even make the comment, you know how to drive? He's like, I know how to do everything. I've lived an entire life.
Seriously?
You guys do not understand.
Like, y'all don't
his
get
consciousness
it.
Has been transplanted back into a body that, you know, resembles
man.
So it's very strong. We need to know more about Cha-Cha and Hazel. Yeah,
absolutely.
What? Who do they work for? What's in that briefcase that they put in, they hide in the motel?
Why do they know so much about number five? Yeah. No matter what, whatever they're thinking, why do they know so much? We get to that moment. I don't know your thoughts when the new student comes in with Vanya, and Vanya, you can tell Vanya's...
Leonard? What's his
name?
Yeah,
Leonard. Yeah. He's doing things to make her way because, you know, they all have pride. They don't even want to live in that big old house, which was always was bothering me a little bit, man. Listen, he's gone now, man. That house is too large, man. Go move
it's
back
a block
in.
It's the size of a block. So Leonard comes as a new student for Vanya. Vanya's the victim, perpetual victim of her own subconscious demise. Yes. Right, so she's sitting there and she's like, you know, my next student's a prodigy, and then he's like, well, I've never been a prodigy, and she's like, neither have I. Like, she is the Eeyore. Everything is just down.
Absolutely. Instant she's connection between the two,
100%, just because, based on that, just, and the father connection. Leonard brings it up,
same like, thing.
And my dad just died, so... And then she's like, oh, mine too.
Because they're all estranged from their father, but she is the most estranged because she wrote the tell-all book, because she just didn't out the father.
That book.
She's talking about the brothers and the sisters.
All of them.
Like, literally, nobody likes anybody airing dirty laundry, especially family business. So she feels extra, extra isolated, and I think this...
And she's always been isolated. Yes. They show that constantly.
Constantly.
Why can't I... Even in the videos, she's not playing with the rest of them. She's just playing her violin. You know, Hargraves wouldn't let her join in on the... And the bank, why? You're not special.
Damn.
Just pushing it. Damn. And she's taking this medication, and that medication to me was the clue, like something.
Yeah.
They're suppressing her.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah. I said, this medicine is not just because she feels she needs it. She's been predisposed to feel she needs this, and she's still a young lady. I said, this is something that's holding something back.
100%. It reminds me of the Dark Phoenix Jean 100%. Grey saga. It's this very similar
100%.
Feel and situation.
So after that whole thing, we get this student thing, well, I think he's going to be a pretty big character because they gave him a whole scene, man. They gave him a whole scene. They had like nice little connection. Like, I'll see you later.
Leonard?
Yeah, Leonard is that guy. That can't be a one-off, man. That dude said he like impacted her in a certain way.
They clearly have a connection. I don't think someone's ever shown her that kind of affection
that kind of
in
affection.
A while.
Whether it's romance, whether it's friendship, I'm not
something.
Sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's romantic.
A common bond. You, like I said, you find out. I think you'll find out a few things like that later on. Like I said, she's not ready to go further though, because she kind of still distanced herself because he kind of asked her out.
She's always distant. Yeah, and she comes up with an excuse.
Then we get to that part where Five is. They still treat Five like he's a child. So they still see him as this 13-year-old
kid. Well, he looks like a
13-year-old
kid.
And it'd be hard for
him
to...
And it's the last time they saw him, too.
So I think it's fair, but Five doesn't see it that way. They're like, we can help you. He's like, you can't help me.
Yeah.
Then they show that transition. You show why.
And it showed him with the Luther when he holds his hand, like quick, too. Like, he's trained. I'm a trained assassin as well. So now I'm starting to think that somehow he's way more connected to that company that's searching for him than we realize. Maybe he worked with them, he worked for them, something had to have played out.
Good. With that being said, I don't know, DJ and the Boo, is that Miss Phipps in there? Can you hit the predictions thing? Y'all got a prediction button in there still? Can we still? Hey, man.
And now, you're but, TV.
Say, Ron, episode 3, episode 4, but let's talk about episode 3. What are you seeing coming up next? Give me any of your thoughts.
I mean, honestly, I have no idea. And I'll tell you, like, I would love to be like, I predict this, but with the amount and extent of powers everyone has, anything could literally happen.
True.
So we have the reveal that the mom was a robot. She sits, or some android or something, because she sits there and charges up. So... she's built, or she could be a cyborg, but I'm going with android. We're going with the reveal that Allison clearly knows that her father was murdered and tells Luther, shut up, you were right, after everyone dismissed him and took it as a personal insult.
Yeah.
So we're waiting to figure out if Diego was involved. I do not think Diego was involved.
Yeah.
I think because they just showed the monocle way too easily, that it may even point to Diego, but it was something else. And
yeah.
Diego was actually protecting or protective somehow. And that was as a tough guy, he's actually loves his father. I think that number 5, that storyline clearly continues because they spent way too much time and special effects money on that. So it has to continue.
For
That's going to be the hunt. And clearly number 5 is the key.
Yeah.
And I think that Vanya's powers are actually the ones that are responsible for the apocalypse somehow.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't 100%. Know how.
100%.
So, and I could be completely off the mark on this.
Like, I agree with you,
I did
bro.
Not read the comic book.
I didn't either.
And I've tried my best not to look at anything ahead.
Yeah, and that's the thing when I was refreshing my mind on what this was. I said, I think I could have seen like that comic a few years ago. I was like, let me just get it just to get a little gist, but you don't want to read, man, because yeah. I don't want anything to be given away. And thankfully, the one thing I was reading in the site I was reading, they felt my pain and they didn't want to give anything away. So it's one of those things where I feel like maybe I think Pogo might know more than he's letting on.
Oh, that's a good one too, yeah.
I like your thought about Vanya being a part of the apocalypse. Sure. I hope that if they do that right, that'll be amazing. Because that means like the apocalypse is the one that's in the house. I was thinking in myself that could have been her. There was a charred body that was in the rubble.
And that also reminds me of a storyline that's going on, the long-awaited Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., where it looks like Quake is responsible for the end of the world. So that's where I got the Vanya might be responsible for the end of the world, the way Jean Grey was going to be responsible for the end of Earth.
I like that.
And they had to go to the moon.
Man, well that wraps it up, man. We're going to have a full panel next week, man. We got a game that Teron come up. We had that to play, man. We running out of time because I'm over here talking about all kinds of umbrella stuff, man. Second time I said the word umbrella today, man. Right, for the first time ever, Teron.
Well, they all have umbrella tattoos. If that doesn't mean anything, I don't have one, but I am Teron literally across the board. I am Teron. Also catch me hosting and paneling a slew of other AfterBuzz after shows right here on AfterBuzz.
Evan T. Mac, Instagram, man, Twitter. You guys at enjoy Umbrella Academy, man. We will see y'all next Sunday. I bid you adieu.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.